Hey everybody, another edition of the Shea Anything podcast. Doug Williams and John Harper here in Studio 31. Andy Martino on the phone from Las Vegas. Andy was up until the wee hours of the morning, almost Las Vegas time, reporting on the Mets' reported signing of Jay Arizfamilia to a three-year, $30 million deal. Andy, thanks for being awake and coherent enough to speak to us.
We'll be the judge of coherence.
Yeah, that's true. I guess.
Yeah, awake, but yeah.
So why do you think they arrived at the conclusion that bringing Jay Arizfamilia back was their best option at this time?
I'll be interested to see what the other relievers start signing for, because then we'll know if they got a little bit of a discount on Familia relative to the market, because I know that Familia really wanted to come back. He was hearing that this week, just like miserable when he went to Oakland and didn't want to be somewhere random in the country, and he likes to be in New York and that kind of stuff. So I guess that probably facilitated something a little easier if you're the Mets and trying to leave here with somebody and trying to figure out a way. You know, Brody had spoken about how he didn't want to wait for a market to develop. He wouldn't mind setting a market or getting out ahead of it. I guess this is a way to do it, by signing Familia, because, I mean, Joe Kelly signed around the same time, so the bullpen stuff did start to get moving, but maybe because of Familia's desire to come back, there was a way to get it done a little quicker. That would be my probably read on that question.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could be okay. I certainly prefer him as a setup guy as opposed to a closer, just because his tendency to lose the plate at times and throw six or eight balls out of seven, six or seven balls in a row can happen at any time with him. So the setup role is better, but it's funny. I mean, a lot of fans want no part of him coming back. Other fans see it as a good thing. It seems like kind of a polarizing move, but it does seem to be a little bit fly in the face of Brody's whole, we're changing everything, we're building a new culture here, we're going to be bold, aggressive. I guess this is bold in some ways, but I don't know. Do you think he takes any of that into consideration, or was he just looking for the best deal here?
I think that's a good point. Like, he non-tenders Flores in part, I think, and talks about trading Syndergaard and Rosario in part to make sure that it's clear that it's a new day. And then you bring back a guy who you had for so many years and who blew some big saves that stick in fans' memories, had a domestic violence incident. There's a fair amount of baggage there for people. A move like this will be judged not by the excitement or lack thereof on the morning after, but on how it plays out, obviously, and then the back innings of the games and if Familia is solid. I think that, as we know from watching him regularly over the years, that Familia's big, like, blown saves stick out, but, like, day-to-day, he's a high-end reliever. So if he can pair with Diaz and be great at the back of that bullpen, then that fans will ultimately like that. But yeah, I think all things being equal, maybe Brody wants to make some kind of splash, but he's also knows that he has to be careful to not make a headline for headline's sake or splashes to do it and just try to build a good baseball team. So he was weighing all those things and ended up on Familia with being the value guy.
Would you think it's safe to say, Andy, that they will wait and see how the market develops with their catching need, potential outfielder, some other move that they're going to make before they then revisit the bullpen? Or do you think that the bullpen for now, in Brody's mind, is set?
Yeah, I think they're done adding recognizable names to their bullpen. Big contracts. This was their shot, and they took it with Familia. So now he moves on, or he's not really moves on, because he's obviously been doing or trying to do multiple things at once. He waits for the catching market. That could mean he waits for the duration of his flight, and we have news later, or it could mean weeks. They don't really know when the Marlins are ready to actually trade Real Muto. I don't think they really know when that's going to happen. And so meantime, they're still just trying to work every angle, pulling the Yankees in, pulling the Padres in, talking to the Marlins themselves, talking to the free agent catchers. And look, again, I mean, it maybe Brody has Wi-Fi in his flight, and there'll be news right now. But they, when they left, they didn't think it was imminent,
right? Like he'd pay for the go-go in-flight Wi-Fi.
You're saying he's not a guy to just like read a book on the plane, and that's right. Not the vibe you're getting.
I just don't think that's the job either. Like I usually just don't buy the Wi-Fi. I conk out. I read a book. I listen to music or watch a movie. But like in that role.
Wait, isn't he on that?
Can you imagine how anxious you'd be to land?
Yeah, I know.
You'd land to a billion emails.
Isn't he on that Wilpon
jet, true.
By the way?
You know what? Yes. Now that we're deep into this conversation, I realize they did take the Met plane. So I don't know. What's the Wi-Fi situation in a private plane? Probably you have it.
Anywho. Well, I fly private all the time.
I think
you would know this firsthand. Yeah, me too.
I think your reporting today is interesting, Andy, because it's almost like back to a couple weeks ago. Albeit we didn't know about the three-team trades. That hadn't been reported by you until you were at the winter meetings. But that was a lot of Yankees talk. Now it seems like that is more far-fetched. And the Marlins and Padres and Mets are talking. The Padres and Mets continue to be tied together because of the Padres' wealth of prospects and their interest in Noah Syndergaard. Would you say that the likelihood of these three teams getting a deal done is more likely than it ever was with the Marlins and Yankees and Mets?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't sleep on the Yankee thing still. Cashman wants Met pitching. So once sides are motivated, it's something to keep an eye on for sure. Actually, the Padres thing, you just never know what lands. But what I was told was they're on. No, nothing is like feeling that serious or close with the Padres one. So look, we asked Brody when we had him on the set on Hot Stove on Monday, of the things that you're working on, what percentage have we found out about? And he said, I'd say you've got about 10% of it figured out, and 90% we're keeping secret. And I think that with the Yankees and the Padres three-way trade scenarios, we smoked out like something into that 90%. Like we got there a little, and there's more. There's a lot more. So it's really hard to handicap the likelihood of things. But if I had to guess Yankees-Padres scenarios, I mean, I'm motivated, so I think that's something.
Hmm. Well, have you gotten the sense, though, that it would take more than just – if they're going to send Syndergaard, if they're going to trade him for Realmuto, basically, that they're going to need more than just Realmuto back for Syndergaard?
There's a lot floating around about – they haven't given a definitive answer on what they'll give and what they need to get. And I feel like that's because – the asking price is still too high. Marlins seem to still want, like, a Nimmo and a Rosario kind of thing. But to say, like, I feel like it's tough to say they want this and the Mets need that. I just don't feel like it's that solid yet from what I've been able to tell. Would they need more than Realmuto? I haven't heard that. I mean, that they would need a major piece more than Realmuto. This is a guy they really want. I mean, so when we hear, like, framework of a deal, like, Padres get Syndergaard, Mets get Realmuto, Marlins get some of the Padres prospects. Obviously, like the ultimate deal could have other pieces in that, but I don't think, John, that I haven't heard that the Mets are targeting anything beyond Realmuto. It's like a primary thing.
Mets fans are going to scream about that if that's the case.
Well, Mets fans, and that's exactly where I was going to go, something they're screaming about. And look, this is not their fault. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are both still free agents, and it looks like they will be for a while. Scott Boras talked to the media for about 6 hours yesterday in front of several thousand reporters. And there's just this group of Met fans, I think, who are like, Brody's thinking outside the box. What if? And I don't blame them for that, because I know it's easy for us and people like us to say, like, that's ridiculous. Like, well, I think Andy, somebody on Twitter yesterday was like, well, and I want to date Mila Kunis. Like, that's the kind of response that people in the media are known to give when someone connects a gigantic free agent to the New York Mets. Mm-hmm. But Andy, do you think it is legitimately outside the realm of possibility that if Bryce Harper's market shrinks, as John Harper's actually writing about with the Yankees in just a bit on SNY.TV, but if the market does shrink, that the Mets like him enough to explore something potentially unprecedented?
No.
throws cold water all
over. How about
over
all of that? All of that, that preamble and that lead up, and just such a word. Short to the point answer.
I can't. Look, I've learned not to rule out anything, but that's hard to see.
Is that because they have to spend other places more than anything else? I mean,
I just think like it's just a hell of a leap to take for a team to go over $300 million on a player when their previous biggest contract was David Wright around $138-140 million. I don't know. It just seems like not in their playbook to me.
All right.
I'm sorry. Look, Harp is about to write about the idea. Am I spoiling this? When is it going to be published?
Tease it any minute now.
No, just the idea that, let's say, as we talked about on this podcast yesterday, let's say that 2017 offseason really is happening again, and neither of these players signed for a while because
Say he becomes J.D. Martinez.
You know, yeah, right? That's a good example.
And the White Sox are Bryce Harper's only big-time option, and Boris, obviously, I think he would send Bryce Harper to Siberia to get the biggest contract, but maybe he doesn't want to sign with it. Maybe Bryce Harper wants to win. So
I thought that by now we'd have like a list of 10 teams that wanted them, and maybe there are, but I'm certainly not hearing it. Andy, are you?
Well, it's going to be an extremely limited market for $350 million asks anytime, right? League-wide. So, it's very limited. I mean, Machado is apparently going to do visits. We don't know the cities yet. Obviously, you think Yankees, White Sox, Phillies, maybe Padres, something, maybe someone who we haven't thought of yet. That's pretty small. And then Harper right now, sourced people that I trust around here seem to think Harper's going to the Nationals, but that's not obviously close or anything. It's like informed guesswork on the part of people who know the Nationals organization better than I do. But I understand. This is why I'm not like no Harper on the Mets.
Well, that's exactly what you just said.
I've learned enough not to like really rule anything out. But I mean, I keep trying. Well, believe me, I'd love the scoop if the Mets are interested in Harper. I've asked when that Yahoo story came out about Harper sitting down with teams, I asked the Mets, like, hey, is there a story here on you? And I just told no. So, you know, that's where we're at right now. I understand how it could play out kind of thing. But as of now, there's just like, there's nothing about the Mets and Harper right now at this moment.
That sounds like a nightmare scenario, by the way, that Harper, for Mets fans, I'm saying, because Harper returns to the Nationals. And the Phillies are like, shoot, we lost out on Harper. Manny Machado, here's $320 million. And in this division that's already gotten so much better, Mets included, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are going to be some really good teams to compete with at the top of that division.
But, you know, you hear different things about the Phillies and Harper, too. Like, that they're not that interested, that he's not that interested. It's very hard to obviously figure this out because those free agencies haven't even hardly begun yet. But Mets just aren't playing on. And, you know, even the Yankees are on the periphery. No one's going to be shocked if neither of these guys end up anywhere in New York. And they could, especially Machado. But, you know, it's just there seems to be more desire elsewhere for both of these players.
How about A.J. Pollock? Any more word about him with the Mets?
I felt like they were definitely concerned about the injury stuff. I feel like when Andrew McCutchen got like a ridiculous, whatever the hell, it's at least $50 million.
Yeah.
For this version of Andrew McCutchen, that did not help trying to get A.J. Pollock. So nothing seems close there. There's not very many right-handed hitting options really out there and not a lot of outfielders that they want. So I think that still could be a fit. But, you know, Brody's talking about what-ifs, and that's bringing in another what-if at a high price tag.
By the way, this is just an interesting anecdote. I won't name this producer, but an SNY producer, after the news broke that McCutchen had agreed to a deal with the Phillies, said, I bet he signed for something like 2 years for 10. And I was like, I think he signed for a little bit more, but that was in the realm that I was thinking. And when I heard 3 for 50, and I've heard reasonable explanations as to why the Phillies ended up there, But that is so much money for a guy who, with the Yankees, was like a fun little piece to have that got on base.
Walked
but like,
a lot, yeah.
To that's a large part of your future if you're the Phillies to bet on Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah, that surprised a lot of people. There was like, they did what? They paid him what? That was the vibe, certainly at the hotel here when that happened. So, but that maybe that sets a little bit of a market, obviously, for outfield, and that's not a good sign for the Mets. We'll
they
see.
Said they were.
We
they said they were going to spend stupid money, right?
So. That was the first sign.
Well, they started. Money. Yeah. They're interesting though because they would not. I was really feeling pretty confident a couple days ago that they were going to outbid the Yankees on Hap, and then they were just out. So they're sending a little bit of mixed signals on their spending.
All right, we're gonna end it right there, Andy. You've provided great information, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but you do sound like you're on your deathbed, and like you sound like you have nothing left. And the reason for that might be because you were up until the middle of the night reporting, and you've been.
And then he went to the roulette tables.
And then you've probably been out partying with Gelb's.
Couldn't go to the roulette table.
Celery juice and vodka.
Too busy. Look, it's like a celery juice kind of week. We're in Vegas, and all we're doing is talking baseball on the air.
It is what it is. Like twice, maybe once.
Dude, I went out to dinner Monday night, and that's the last time I've
breathed
a breath of fresh air.
Burger?
No, we went to Rayo's, which is no one can ever get into in the Bronx, and you can do it here because it's bigger. And while we were there, we saw. Larry King walking through the dining room looking kind of lost. And then that's my big Vegas celebrity sighting.
All right. That's very exciting. All right.
Yeah, it was. It was a thrill.
We're going to end the show right there. Harp, thank you for pinch hitting all week. This has
Enjoyed
been fun.
It, Doug.
We've been spending a lot of time
Enjoyed
together. Andy, get home safe. We'll see you, assuming that you survive. We'll see you back in New York.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.